guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Facebook will not remove a fake video of boss Mark Zuckerberg from Instagram, falsely portraying him boasting that he can control the future thanks to stolen data. The clip was doctored and then loaded on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, in a bid to test the company's moderation tools. Kirk Knudsen, otherwise known as the Cyber Guy, joins Fox News and says this sort of stuff is what we're going to start seeing more and more of, these doctored videos.
I think we have to really wake up now, because especially when it comes to the 2020 election, these videos called deep fakes are going to be everywhere, where you can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not real. And we need to do something about it.
In the doctored video, Zuckerberg looks like he's sitting down with CBS News for a legitimate interview. Knudsen continues.
As it relates to that one with Mark Zuckerberg, so Facebook chose not to take it down. And, you know, so puts them in a quandary. Do they censor? Do they not censor? And do you really want Mark Zuckerberg to be the censor of what we see and don't see? So huge problem with this. CBS obviously did not shoot that, and they denied, they asked that that be taken down. They still haven't won on that one. This was put together by a couple of ad guys just to show the power of this for a conference. It wasn't meant to hurt anyone. It was meant to show how powerful this can
be. Please remember, you can always find us on the iHeartRadio app by downloading the app and then searching for USA Radio News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Let's take a bit of a break from the tumult, shall we? We have a very interesting combination of segments for you this week. Handwriting, pets, Nazis, and babies. All this week on Now It's the News. Thank you so much for listening today. Let's start with handwriting. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. It doesn't play a hugely prominent role in my life at this point, but when I was in elementary school and middle school and even in high school, it certainly was there in a big way, handwriting. And my teachers would comment on it, and mine was terrible. I don't know about yours. But we're going to talk about the history of handwriting and its future. We're speaking with Anne Trubeck today. She's the author of The History and Uncertain Future of Handwriting. Anne, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So how has handwriting evolved over the course of history? Like, how seriously has it been taken during different historical periods?
Well, for a long time in the West, it was the only way people had to write, right? Before the printing press was invented, that was the primary form of communication, was handwriting. Before then, there were many primarily oral cultures who had no writing at all and had very sophisticated, civilizations. Since the printing press and since the typewriter, it has sort of changed in its importance. So it really depends when in history you're talking about and where you're talking about. But certainly today, handwriting is not the primary way that people communicate through writing. And that's been true since about the typewriter was invented, I'd say. So for about the last 100 years, it sort of got demoted.
So our handwriting has probably become much messier since that time.
It certainly has become much messier for individuals since the internet, the computer. I mean, I handwrite far, far less than I used to. I bet you do. I bet everyone listening just handwrites less. And the less you do it, the harder it gets to be. And your skills atrophy, just like anything, when you do less of it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, and we're speaking with Anne Trubeck. She's the author of The History and Uncertain Future of Handwriting. I go back, and I look at my dad, for example, does a lot of investigation into our background, into our ancestry, and you look at some of the documents, and it's just amazing how beautiful the documents are. They wrote copiously, and yet they wrote, by and large, not universally, so neatly. I mean, they really focused a lot of time and attention into that. And I suppose all that mental energy now is going to texting and posting things on Facebook.
Right, exactly. I mean, there have been different scripts that people have been taught throughout the centuries. So the reason why, your grandparents' handwriting looks different is because they were taught a different script when they were in school. And they spent a huge amount of the school day on that script. So your ancestors really were put through the ringer in terms of the hours that were spent mastering and practicing how to make their G's and their M's and their E's. And less time is spent now doing that, and more time is spent on learning science and, reading books. So it's a trade-off.
You know, let's get down to brass tacks here, because, our civilization seems, especially if you look at it historically, very, very vibrant. I have no reason to believe that the internet is going to go away tomorrow and that all of our computer infrastructure will dissolve overnight. But you wonder which is more durable. I mean, because it's contingent upon so many factors, what we've built up here. And are we getting to the point where if suddenly humanity needed to write and have good handwriting for, even if it was only a few years, say there were a horrific nuclear war or something like that, God forbid, and we needed to go back to handwriting, could we do it? I mean, it wouldn't be the biggest concern in the world, but, I mean, if you're talking about doctor's prescriptions or something like that, or essential communications, could we do it? Could we pull off good handwriting even for a couple of decades, given what we've taught ourselves to do now?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it will be really low on our list of concerns.
For sure, yeah.
In the future. I think food, might be more of an issue. And, paper is not the most durable surface. I mean, if there's a horrible explosion, there goes the paper.
Yes.
But yes, we could do it. Absolutely.
Okay. I am emboldened by your faith in humanity. I think that's fantastic. So what is the future of handwriting going to be? Because it seems like we need it less and less. The times that I see it, when there is a doctor's prescription and it seems to be indecipherable, maybe that's always been the case, but more and more so each year, like, what's going to happen to handwriting, and where are the circumstances where it's actually going to be used?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I mean, even the doctor's prescription, we often use that as an example. But when was the last time a doctor wrote a prescription and my doctor puts it in the computer and prints it out?
Yeah.
Even that's already gone. Yes, we will use it less and less because we're choosing to, because there's good reasons to use it less and less. All of us could be handwriting a lot of things, but we're choosing to use a computer, for good reason. I think it will have a renaissance as an art form, and people will start appreciating and taking up calligraphy more and more. I think that we're going to see that, you know, it is a beautiful thing to do if you become a master at it, and people become more interested in doing that, I do think. And I think that we will continue to, you know, handwrite less as our, you know, everyday communication and as our business and school communication, but it may flourish as an art form. That's just a theory. I mean, I'm not a futurist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, no.
And it will take a very, very, very long time. I mean, in my book, I talk about how long it takes for change to happen. So, you know, in there have been examples of, say, papyrus no longer being used and paper replacing it, but then they'll find papyrus scrolls like 500 years after paper had replaced it. People will still continue to handwrite and learn to handwrite for generations.
We're speaking with Ann Trubeck. She is the author of The History and Uncertain Future of Handwriting. One final question. I got to figure this out. The gender differentiation. Why is my wife's handwriting so much better than mine?
Well, first of all, that, you know, in the 19th century, this is all cultural. This is not genetic. In the 19th century, women were taught a simpler hand because it was thought they couldn't master the complicated scripts that men did. Oh. And it was seen that women were worse at handwriting. But what I argue now is handwriting is primarily a fine motor skill, and girls develop fine motor skills younger, and we're taught handwriting at a younger age. And so, girls tend to be more proficient at it, and then they take pride in how good it is, and they get rewarded for that, and then it sort of continues that way. So I think it has to do with the fine motor skill aspect of it.
Interesting. Okay, and you know, that I come to think of it, that may not apply to my daughter who's about to turn 18. But I can tell you, and maybe this is just me and my experience, but the young women I grew up with had the most beautiful handwriting, and I and all the males I know have had the most difficult to decipher handwriting. And now you've explained that to me. It's cultural. It's not genetic. So. Thank you for solving that mystery for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and all the teachers are men. Like, the best calligraphers in the world are men.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Ann Trubeck. She is the author of The History and the Uncertain Future of Handwriting. Thank you for assuaging my nerves as to the status of handwriting during the next nuclear holocaust. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All
great
the best.
To chat.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now It's the News. Go to
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. Numerically, that's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Dr. Brian Beal from Animal ER Season 2, premieres Saturday, August 26th at 10/9 Central on Nat Geo Wild. Brian Beal, tell us, how did you get into this business?
Well, you know, I hate to say it because I'll have to divulge my age, but I've been doing this for over 25 years now. And I'm more passionate about it now than I've ever been, and I just found the right job. And, you know, it all started back when I was a kid. Like most kids, they want to be a veterinarian. And, you know, I had the experience of spending a lot of time with my grandparents, who were huge animal lovers. And, you know, that was back when you didn't really think about this close bond between pets and their families. But I noticed that when their animals had a problem, they would, you know, go hours away to take them up to University of Pennsylvania to get that specialty care. And so that just influenced me, and I saw what could be done for animals, but you just had to go out and seek it to get that best care possible. That's not the case anymore. You know, that's available all over the place now.
We all love our pets, but it seems like these days there's a degree to which people will take that, that transcends what we had before. I mean, I hear stories about dog antidepressants and people just going the extra mile for their pets. How far is too far, do you think, when it comes to a pet?
Well, you know, really, that's a very personal question. And what we try to do at Gulf Coast Veterinary Specialists and Compassion First Pet Hospitals, which we're a part of, which is a huge expanding group of state-of-the-art hospitals across the country, is we try to help people look at their animal and kind of give them advice about the quality of life of their patient. We want them to know, you know, what can be done, but we're not going to recommend something that, you know, to do unless we think it's going to lead to a good quality of life. So we try to counsel them and make sure that they're making a good decision and make sure they go in with their eyes wide open.
We're speaking with Dr. Brian Beal. He is on Animal ER. Season 2 premieres Saturday, August 26th at 10, 9 Central on Nat Geo Wild. You got a bit of weather coming into your neck of the woods right now. I guess Tropical Storm Harvey is headed probably south of you, and hopefully it'll have passed, and there won't be too much going on in your neck of the woods by the time that this goes to air. But whenever there's a disaster, whenever there's a lot of weather, a lot of pets get hit the hardest. What have you seen with regard to that, and how do you approach it at your animal hospital?
Well, Gulf Coast Veterinary Specialists, we are in Houston, and of course that's a target for many of these tropical storms and hurricanes that come through, and we are experienced in that, let me tell you. So we've been hit hard 3 times, and we've actually had flooding that we had to deal with, and you know we are ready for it. We have crews, a large crew that's on call. The minute we get hit, the cleanup takes about 24 hours. We're typically, if we flood, which we've flooded 3 times, we're back and going within about 24 hours. We've not only had flooding, we actually had a fire recently, and it was funny because when we were filming Animal ER with Nat Geo Wild, they actually were there during the fire, and we had to evacuate over 200 personnel and over 100 animals, and some of those were in surgery up out of the hospital, and it took about 10 minutes to get everybody out there. So we're well-versed and ready to go for any type of disaster.
What tend to be the needs of pets in a situation like that? How do people come to you, and what issues come up around something like that?
Well, you know, in the case of a hurricane, you know, many, not only do we experience it, all the veterinarians around that area are going to experience it. And we're just fortunate to have, you know, the ability to have this huge team in place to get us up and running quickly. The problem we face, though, is that now all the other hospitals don't have the ability to do that. And so we get deluged with a huge number of patients afterwards. So we're working overtime and working really hard, and we're bringing in people, you know, that are off that day to come in and just deal with all these patients that need care on an emergency basis.
Mostly it's the backlog more than anything else, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our caseload goes up because there's just a lot of the things that would routinely be handled by the regular veterinarian. Now they have to seek additional help. Usually we're doing specialty care. So the pets will go to a veterinarian. They need advanced care or some technique that only a specialist will do. And so they'll send those cases. Now we're getting the routine problems just because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Got it. We're speaking with Dr. Brian Beal with Animal ER. I want to bring up something that we're concerned about with our dog, Fred, just as a general thing. It hasn't happened to him yet or anything. But, you know, we have these little weeds called foxtails in our backyard. My wife is very scrupulous about cropping them down because she's worried. She's heard stories and experienced, had dogs have those get up into their nose and do a lot of damage. How much of a concern is that, and what should we do to prevent it?
Oh, you know, foxtails are horrible. You know, they're one of these things. It's like a a fish hook that goes up the nose and just migrates its way up. And, you know, they're very difficult to pull out because they have these barbs on them. And, you know, they're very irritating. They can get stuck in the tissues in very difficult places to access. So a lot of times it's difficult to diagnose it. We'll use special things like small, tiny little scopes that can go up into the nose, and it magnifies everything greatly so we can see them. And, you know, your wife's doing a good thing trying to prevent it by keeping it from producing the actual part that causes the problem.
Tell us what we can expect from a season two of Animal ER.
You know, Animal ERs, you never know what to expect. That's the fun part about it. And, you know, there's a lot of animal shows out there, a lot of veterinary shows out there, but this one is definitely unique and different from all of them. I think the neatest thing about it is, you know, you're seeing state-of-the-art care for these animals, just cutting-edge technology. You're seeing animals that have big problems that, you know, ordinarily a lot of times they get put to sleep, but we're able to save most of these animals and give them a very good quality of life. And you'll see a great variety of species. Of course, you'll see lots of dogs and cats. That's what most of us have at home. But there's a lot of people who have rabbits and snakes and birds and pocket pets like this that you'll also get to see, as well as a lot of zoo animals. So we've treated tigers right in the middle of Houston, elephants, two-toed sloth, penguins, pythons, anteaters. So just about everything. You never know what you're going to see on Animal ER.
Now we'll look for more some of the more exotic ones. That sounds fascinating. Dr. Brian Beal from Animal ER Season 2 launches Saturday, August 26th at 10/9 Central on Nat Geo Wild. Episodes after that air Saturday, every Saturday, 10/9 Central. Dr. Brian Beal, thank you for what you do, and thank you for being on Now It's the News.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about Animal ER. It's a great show. I think it's a great family show that people will enjoy.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Donald Trump says Mexico is showing results in cracking down on illegal immigration by deploying their own National Guard to their border with Guatemala and Belize.
They've got 45 days. They're doing really well. They're doing, frankly, better than projected. They have 6,000 soldiers.
The president phoning into Fox and Friends on Friday for nearly an hour. The president was also asked about U.S. tariffs and what that's doing with our relationship with China and a possible trade deal.
Well, we're going to see. Eventually, they're going to make a deal because they're going to have to look. They're paying hundreds of billions of dollars.
Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signs a bill outlawing sanctuary cities in the state of Florida.
After just having one legislative session under our belt, we're delivering on the promises that we made to the people of Florida.
The bills passed Florida's House and Senate mainly along party lines. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And now, it's the news.
Here's a lesson. If you've got a cushy job, keep your mouth shut about it. The New York State court system's longtime communications chief was fired this week after inadvertently telling a reporter that he barely went to work at his $166,000 a year job. David Brookstaver's firing came a day after the New York Post reported he unwittingly dialed a reporter's voicemail, which captured him conversing with someone else and acknowledging that he was slacking off at the office. If you're listening to Now It's the News, I'm Derek Blair. Andrew Gross is the author of The Saboteur. It tells the story of how a few Norwegian resistance fighters stopped Nazi Germany's development of the atom bomb. Andrew Gross, welcome to Now It's the News. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. Nice to be here.
So I've learned something over the course of the years about the resistance movement to Hitler in Norway. Tell us how much your story here mirrors the reality of what happened.
First of all, I'm a novelist, and I'm a suspense novelist. I came across this story in my research for my previous book, The One Man, which is also a World War II novel with a bit of a Holocaust component to it. But the thing that tied them together, the two books, was a theme of Allies preventing the Nazis from acquiring the decisive weapon of the war, their own atomic bomb. And I came across this story of valor and just uncommon bravery and such a consequential raid in my research on The One Man. Now, I have built a fictional hero up, although based on a real participant. But what I thought was that given the extraordinary bravery that this small group of commandos and saboteurs undertook, that all of the military aspects of this book, the raids, there were two of them in basically, that I would stay 100% as close to the history and the truth as I could.
Interesting. So this is pretty much, as far as you know, mirrors what actually happened, but the events themselves are dramatized and the characters.
I mean, if your listeners like sort of old-fashioned, sweeping World War II stirring novels like The Guns of Navarone or Where Eagles Dare, this is very much in that sort of vein, action-adventure with, I guess the other thing I do, at least, is I'm not a military writer. What I am is a suspense writer who likes to take people who need to make a moral choice and put them in really trying and exigent situations. And in this book, if I may, Kurt Nordstrom, who's my hero in it, is a courageous Norwegian resistance fighter who has lost everything in the war. His fiance has been killed. His regiment has been dispersed. His country has been overrun. Who has to make a choice between his heart and duty when it falls on him ultimately to single-handedly stand in the way of the Nazis from acquiring the decisive weapon of the war. And it's possible that some of your readers are familiar with the attempts of the Allies to destroy the Nazis from building up heavy water, which is a substance vital to the building of an atomic bomb, at this remote plant in Vemork, Norway, 600 feet above this completely unscalable gorge where Only a handful of trained men could even attempt such an improbable mission. Between the brutality of the weather, the inhospitable terrain, and the overwhelming military numbers against them.
It's fascinating. We're speaking with Andrew Gross. He is the author of The Saboteur. He is an author of thriller novels, both with himself and with co-author James Patterson. So when you think of this novel, when you think of trying to stop the Nazis from acquiring the materials necessary to getting the atomic bomb, how close did they come? And does it set you in mind of perhaps other situations? Does North Korea come to mind?
I can't, on the latter part of it, another interviewer said, well, isn't this timely because of neo-Nazis? And I'm really writing about a situation where America was at war, some 75, not America, but the Allies were at war some 75 years ago. I really didn't write it with a sort of a topical theme in mind, the relevancy in mind, although fighting any totalitarian regime when you find people that act in patriotism and subjugate themselves for a higher cause, whether it's for against people like North Korea or neo-Nazis marching in Virginia or Nazis overrunning your country, it is kind of inspiring. To the first part of your question, the Nazis would have been a whole lot closer to putting the bomb together had it been for this one man. Kurt Hakkelud and my character Nordstrom, literally one man stood in the way of it and made the difference. The truth is that the Nazis had control originally of most of the great physicist minds of the 1930s. Unfortunately, they booted a lot of them out, the Jews, to the United States, which gave a boost to our Manhattan Project. And frankly, if they hadn't done that, they probably would have been ahead of us.
That's interesting, and I've heard a lot about Operation Paperclip after the war, which allowed us to get many of their top people,
right.
And led to the development not only of various missile projects that we had, but really to the creation of NASA.
Right, right. And, they still had Heisenberg was their number one physicist, and he had a famous meeting, a clandestine meeting with Niels Bohr, who was sort of the preeminent physicist in the world then, and what he said to Bohr, which was that they felt that they could come up with this decisive weapon within a year, concerned him to such a degree that he got word through the underground to British intelligence, and that was why they sort of mounted these raids, because of the sense that the Nazis were ahead of the Allies in their own work on the bomb.
We're speaking with Andrew Gross. He is the author of The Saboteur. What do you think it is about history and looking back on it, whether in a fictional or non-fictional sense, that fascinates us much? Is it the fact that really, if this had gone one way or another, the world would be shaped entirely differently?
Yes. I mean, I think you've just sort of hit on a lot of it, is that, what I try to do is choose these moments where individuals frame the outcome, and a lot of people, sort of humble, insignificant individuals who have to rise to characters of extreme heroism that made the difference between the outcome going one way or another. I guess famously there's a line by Hawthorne, not exactly a famous thriller writer, and but unless you think that the Scarlet A maybe stood for action as opposed to adultery, a phrase that he said, which I've always sort of liked, is that heroes need a heroic world in which to be heroic themselves. And I think in that sense, history defines these moments in history give us the platform for people to rise and act heroically, and that's what interests me as a novelist.
Well, you see, now you got my mind churning. I can foresee the next book, co-authored by Andrew Gross, by Nathaniel Hawthorne, A is for
right.
Action.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of thriller writers, by the way, if anyone pay attention, who have their best years after they're dead. A lot of them are struggling. So maybe it's time for Hawthorne to start writing commercial suspense novels.
There you go. There you go. You're the man who can help him do it. Andrew Gross, the author of The Saboteur, a fascinating thriller. Check it out, please. And thanks for being on Now It's the News.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All the best.
Bye.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
It's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Babies, that's what we're talking about today. Specifically, how do they get out of the mom? I'm sure that's been explained to you before, but there's an interesting and complicated and developing history around that. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Randy Hutter Ebstein about that. She is the author of Get Me Out, A History of Childbirth from the Garden of Eden to the Sperm Bank. Dr. Ebstein, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, my wife and I have had two daughters, two vastly different childbirthing experiences. The first was in a hospital, ended up with an epidural. They took her. She was fine, and they put her in the intensive care to watch her for a little bit. Although she ended up being fine. The second, our second daughter, we had a home birth. It ended up being less expensive. Ended up being far less complicated, and so we had two very different experiences, tended towards the latter as opposed to the former. But I know most folks go for a traditional hospital birth. In the last 17 years or so, What has developed? I know we're talking about a whole vast history here, but just recently, how have things changed? How have things developed and improved?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just to flip back in time a bit, you know, in the early 1900s, everyone, as we know, was giving birth at home.
Right.
But when we moved to start doing hospital births in 1905, 1920, those are really for the poor women that couldn't afford to give birth at home.
Hmm.
For the fancy ladies, you stayed at home in the privacy of your own bedroom, and the hospital births were a lot for, like, the immigrant and poor women who were put in wards, a lot of women in the same room, and a lot of times with inexperienced doctors who were practicing their technique so that they were better at when they did the home births for the fancier ladies. Today we know by, like, the 1960s, practically everyone was giving birth in a hospital.
Right.
And now we're seeing that, yeah, a lot of people are going your way. First child in the hospital and maybe trying the home birth. It's not, I'd say overwhelmingly, more women are still giving birth in a hospital. But what we have today in some communities, not all, in some communities, women who prefer to stay at home are close enough to a hospital and are working with a midwife who's affiliated with a doctor or a hospital. So should you need the should you have to be rushed to a hospital,
right,
or do you need any special equipment or surgery, you're close by. So I think that's probably the most recent positive sign of sort of working together with midwives and doctors that some communities, not all, have, that you can have the home birth and yet have the benefit of the hospital should you need to get somewhere quickly.
Well, that's great. That's good to hear. We're speaking with Dr. Randi Hutter Epstein. She's the author of Get Me Out. I'm curious. The number that I've heard is that about 85% of births don't typically require any sort of medical intervention. Is that correct?
You know, I've heard the numbers are about that. It's really, you know, the thing with childbirth is, for the most part, yeah, things do go well. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that really lured me to this subject isn't so much, oh, making babies, though it is fascinating, the whole sperm meets egg thing, but also how so much about how we give birth and how we want babies to be delivered has to do with doctor-patient relationships. So when your mother was giving birth, it was in an era, and I'm just sort of guessing how old you are and your mom, but it was in an era where you listened to your doctor, and they knew best, and most doctors were men, and most doctors were saying, I don't want to, like, visit from home to home. Get in the hospital. I'm going to knock you out. I don't want to hear you chit-chattering along the way. And I'll get the baby out. And for the most part, women were like, okay, fine. And one of the reasons why natural childbirth started, and it really took off in the 1970s, whether you're home or in the hospital, is women were like, wait. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what you're doing to us. And we want to have a say in this. So a lot of it has to do with doctor-patient relationships. And in addition to advances in science and what our culture is at the time.
And to what extent does that control still take place today? Because, again, these are just numbers that I've heard, and I don't have any particular studies associated with them on the tip of my tongue, that scheduling births and planning them takes place to a much greater degree, so that babies typically are delivered during the daytime. They tend to be planned out, you know, is scheduled, and that has been a trend. I know I was born at 11:30 at night, and that was back in 1976. But I'm wondering to what extent are hospital births these days scheduled at the convenience of the hospital, the physician, and the staff available.
You know, it's funny. I talk to a lot of physicians, and I talk to so many women who are giving birth in the last few years, in the last 50 years, and I went into this thinking there's so many planned births because that's what doctors want. You know, they want to play golf on Wednesday, deliver your baby Thursday at noon, go to their cocktail party. But, you know, it wasn't just the doctors. there's a lot of women out there that are saying, "Oh, I don't want to not know when this baby's coming." It shocked me because I'm kind of a more let this baby come out when the baby feels cooked and ready to come out of the oven. But there were a lot of women that said, "Oh, well, it can't be, you know, I want to give birth on this Monday versus that Tuesday. I love the date of this birthday sounding." So a lot of the planning, and yes, I don't know the statistics because it's hard to really keep, I don't even know if there's statistics where they go and ask women to say, you know, is this scheduled or not? And is it scheduled for a health reason or for your own convenience? That would be the real issue to try to tease out. But there is a lot more planning, women planning to be induced and women planning a C-section on a certain day. And I think for me, what that meant to me is it's a reflection, again, on our society that we're kind of control freaks and want to be able to plan our week and know that, okay, well, this way I can go on vacation this week. We'll have the baby before. I don't know. Right. I think it says more about us than our babies.
Interesting. I wonder if the advent of the smart phone has led to the advent of the smart birth in a way. We're speaking with Dr.
I think,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say I think it leads to the advent of a social media birth, the smart
Interesting.
Phone. There's people, you know, Snapchatting and texting as their babies are coming out.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I never thought about that. My wife and I got in just under the wire before any of that was available. And, you know, it should have struck me, yeah, there are all these pictures of people in the hospital, but they're probably documenting a lot more than just the after scenes. And that's quite an interesting advent, and not one that I'm positive necessarily furthers a helpful development, but it's definitely a thing. We're speaking to Dr. Randy Hutter Epstein, the author of Get Me Out, A History of Childbirth, From the Garden of Eden to the Sperm Bank. Do you think we're at a place where this ultimately ends up, at least as we do it in this country, with healthier kids?
I think in the most part, we're better at preventing illness in terms of antibiotics that came around in the mid-20th century. I think we're getting much better at doing some prenatal diagnosis. I don't mean designer babies. I don't mean having like a baby that's guaranteed to have a high SAT score. But I do mean that we can, if there is a fatal genetic illness that runs in your family, we can now, for some of these diseases, look at the genetics in an embryo before it's implanted and prevent that vicious cycle of an illness. So for those cases, it gets sort of conflated with designer babies, but there is some wonderful scientific advances in making healthier babies. And I think we're learning and learning. And yes, it does talk to the issues of how much are we planning for? Is it just disease prevention or is it perfecting?
Sounds like good news. Dr. Randy Hutter Epstein, she's the author of Get Me Out, A History of Childbirth from the Garden of Eden to the Sperm Bank. Dr. Epstein, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks. All the best. Bye-bye.
Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair and Godric Rocklin. For more information, go to Twitter, at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Britain is backing the U.S. claim that Iran is behind yesterday's attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman. UK Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt says his country will make its own assessment, but there's no reason not to believe the conclusion coming from the U.S. President Trump insists on Fox and Friends that Iran will not be permitted to close the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, they're not going to be closing it. It's not going to be, if it's closed, it's not going to be closed for long. And they know it. And they've been told in very strong terms. And we want to get them back to the table if they want to go back. I'm ready when they are.
A deadly police shooting has the Memphis Police Department on a precautionary high alert. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says an African-American man was shot and killed by authorities in Memphis on Wednesday when U.S. Marshals tried to arrest him for a shooting in Mississippi. After his death, protesters have been vandalizing police cars and throwing bricks at police. This is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Trump is standing by his comments regarding a hypothetical question that was posed to the president regarding accepting dirt on political opponents from a foreign source. The president tells Fox News he would have to know what the dirt was before he could report it to the proper authorities. The Empire State's ending religious exemptions from vaccinations. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
New York's state legislature voting to remove all non-medical exemptions for immunizations, a measure that was passed by both the Assembly and Senate and was quickly signed into law by the Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo. The move comes as New York continues to grapple with one of the biggest measles outbreaks in decades. Most of the confirmed cases have been found in Orthodox Jewish communities in New York's Rockland County and Brooklyn. Opponents of the measure protested in Albany ahead of the vote. They're vowing to challenge the new law in court.
A parade is being held to honor the NBA champion Toronto Raptors Monday in downtown Toronto. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
2 years ago on Friday, House Minority Whip Republican Steve Scalise from Louisiana suffered a life-threatening wound when a gunman opened fire during a practice for the congressional baseball game. His book, Back in the Game, tells a story of the shooting and is now available in paperback. Scalise also joined CBS this morning and talks about the main message in the book.
The book's about really the heroes and the miracles that that all were at place that day 2 years ago on that baseball field. The heroes that saved my life and everybody on the ball field, David Bailey and Crystal Griner, the two Capitol police officers, so many other police officers that were there that day, people like Brad Wenstrup, heroes that saved our lives, but also the miracles that really kept people from making it through that day. In terms of forgiveness, Michelle, this has been something I've struggled with as a Catholic, because I do want to get to a point where I can truly forgive the shooter. I've talked to a lot of people. In fact, it was in Opelousas, Louisiana, one of the churches that was burned down just a few weeks ago, historically black church that was targeted and burned down, one of three that was. And I met with the pastor of one of those churches, the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and Reverend Tucson. He talked to me about forgiveness, and he said the first thing he did when he found out who the arsonist was that burned his church down was that he forgave him. And it was powerful to me, and I talked to him about it, and we're going to talk some more. I'd hope to get there.
Follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.